Hello, and welcome to Between the Sessions, coming to you from my favorite place in the whole wide world, the Palm Beaches, Florida. Between the Sessions is a podcast for meetings industry professionals presented by the Palm Beaches, and I'm your host, Suzanne Boyd. You know, our mission is to inspire those in the business events industry with new and innovative ideas, and also discuss important developments impacting the meetings industry, both here in the U.S. and globally. And I'm super excited to announce today that no longer am I the only host on this show. We have Jamie Hart, who is the Director of Integrated Marketing at Discover the Palm Beaches. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Suzanne.
So tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so I've been with Discover the Palm Beaches for 3 years now, and really came up through the hotel industry and in the meetings and events field. So it's been a great time with Discover and in the DMO world, and happy to be here on the podcast with you.
And we are super excited to introduce our guest today, Sheriff Karamat, who's the president and CEO of PCMA and CMA. Sheriff, thank you so much for joining us today. We're super excited.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
So first of all, we just want to know, how did you get into this industry? Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, that's a long story, but when I was younger, I wanted to be in the sports marketing business and to be a CMO for a baseball franchise. And, I started out in the soccer business, and that league folded, and that ended up getting me into the hotel business. And from the hotel business, I worked for a DMO. And when I was at that DMO, PCMA asked me if I would like to join their team. So it was kind of a journey through the business event space. But certainly my heart was in the sports marketing, baseball world. But that got me into business events, which I am so happy that I did.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've had it kind of from all angles. You've been able to see the industry. So that's great.
Yeah. And based on your background, I gather that we have some similar journeys.
Yes. that the hotel industry was a great way to introduce to the industry. The business events world is so integral in what hotels do. So, we can kind of just jump right in. So we know that PCMA is the world's largest community for business event strategists, provides a lot of education, networking, and market intelligence for the whole industry. Again, both domestically and globally. So coming from all of those experiences you've had throughout the industry, how do you make sure that PCMA is maintaining that market leading position and staying innovative?
Yeah, first and foremost, to be a market leader is not an easy thing to be. And in order to be a market leader, you must have very tough competition. And that keeps you sharp, that keeps you always innovating. And the second part of being a market leader is who you surround yourselves with and the people who are thinking, who you collaborate with, who are pushing the envelope in ensuring that we're delivering value. So let me first start by competition. What we have found in the business events space and the business events industry, competition is not necessarily coming from industry associations. It's actually coming from people outside of the industry, whether it's the tech sector, whether it's the hotel community, whether it's startups, it's coming from different areas that are bringing innovative solutions to our space. And what PCMA has tried to do, instead of looking at them as competitors, we have looked at how we partner with these sectors to drive better value for the business event space. So that's part of it. So in addition to looking at our competitors, which are outside of our space as potential collaborators for delivering value, we're also looking at organizations in the space at home and globally that PCMA could acquire, could partner with, that we could leverage relationships to further value for our constituents. The bottom line is that what we are looking at is the role that business event leaders are playing today, the challenges that they're facing, and how we can be anticipatory so that we can continue to deliver value. A market leading position, while is absolutely coveted and makes you do things and first to market, it also means that it is a tough place to maintain. And we work very, very hard and stay abreast of our ability to listen to weak signals so that we are developing products and services that our members, our customers, and the industry is not even thinking about as yet, but we are putting them in a beta stage so that we can bring them to market and be much more agile. And it's there as they're needed, as opposed to trying to develop them once we realize that they're needed.
You had mentioned the acquisition, so some notable acquisitions and partnerships in the last few years with PCMA. Why has that been important in your strategy? And specifically, like, how does your community benefit from those acquisitions and partnerships?
So two things. One is that why is it an important part of our strategy? PCMA believes that business events drive economic and social transformation. We really fundamentally believe that. We believe our members also are doing the same in their verticals or their community, whether it's medical, whether it's pharmaceutical, financial, whatever the community is, we believe the same. So we also believe that in order for PCMA to truly drive economic and social transformation, we need to be the global platform for the business events industry. And that means that we have to be able to have multiple offerings. We have to have audiences around the world. And part of the acquisition strategy was looking at organizations that are in our space or tangential to our space that could drive value to this audience. So the acquisitions that we've made or the strategic alliances that we have made has always been the intent that 2 + 2 could make 5 and would not diminish the value, but actually increase in value. So let me give you, for example, we acquired ELI, which is the Event Leadership Institute. And the idea of acquiring Event Leadership Institute was to give PCMA the ability to be more agile in product development, so we can get out to market faster. So it was all about value. We acquired SEMA, the corporate event marketers. The reason why we acquired SEMA was we felt that event marketers in the corporate space could actually learn from association event organizers and vice versa. And collectively, there could be much benefit for their profession, whether they're corporate or association, by learning from each other. And so there's many synergies there that makes this greater sort of exponential value for the sector.
Speaking of that, you know, when we're looking at different segments of the market, what is PCMA seeing coming in the market? And what is your forecast over the next few years in terms of segment growth, the type of events we're seeing, other event trends that business event strategists may need to consider and kind of pivot their strategies for?
Yeah, first and foremost, one could submit in the world that we live in today, the tech center segment is growing exponentially. Doesn't matter where in the world the tech sector and segment is growing exponentially. Within that, I want to say a subset, and it's around AI and AR and the role AI and AR is playing in our world today. So incorporating AI and AR into what we do is tremendously important. Subsequently, you're seeing a lot of innovation in conferences around that. And looking at AI should not be a threat. You know, there's the old saying that AI will not take your jobs away, but people using AI will take your job away. So how do you get your arms around that? So that's one segment. Another segment that I think that everyone should be paying attention to is this sustainable/regenerative economy. And how are we creating jobs that are around the renewable sector? This is not just a social issue. This is about building a new and sustainable economy for all our people and jobs for the future. So getting your arms around that area of growth is tremendous because it is only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Third, and at least in this part of the hemisphere, but I would argue in many developed countries, is an aging population. So how healthcare continues to be important and gaining maybe more importance as our population ages. Yes, there's lots of young people, but there's in many parts of the developed world, our population is aging. So when you look at just those three sectors, there's such an opportunity for growth, and that is actually manifesting itself in more events, more conferences. And one could say it's counterintuitive to think of sustainability and regenerative economy and more conferences. And I absolutely want to dispel that myth. The fact is that we as humans need to meet. We need to come together. And what we need to demand as in terms of innovation is how we can meet that is regenerative, how our fuel can be regenerative, how our hotels or aircrafts or convention centers are using materials that are less footprint on the environment. So I don't think that they are mutually exclusive, but I do think that people can create fallacies in argument that counters that you shouldn't meet.
Let's go back to AI, because I think, you know, we were just talking about it before we started recording this podcast today, was that, you know, everyone is using it right now or trying it out or testing it out in their industry. And it's not just this industry, it's multiple industries, right? So how is AI being used right now in the business events industry?
I would say it's almost at an embryonic stage. It's used at sort of getting more information to sort of be a little bit more anticipatory. Some organizations have a bit on their website. And so it's almost at the very early stages, but it's moving so rapidly, so quickly that if we don't get our arms around that, we will get left behind. So a couple of things, and I said AI wouldn't take our jobs, people using AI. It's making us smarter. It's making us make decisions smarter. It's allowing us to take away the mundane tasks that we're doing on a daily basis so that we can actually respond. So in a most simplistic form, if you think of AI just on our website, AI could actually, in a chatbot format, could answer 93% of the questions that our members and audience have. And so when someone needs you face to face, you can actually be there for them and answer their questions. So that's just a very simplistic way. But it has the ability to help us with event design. It has the ability to help us with engagement with customers. It's a numerous amount of upside. There are also downsides. And I just want to talk about that just for 1 second, if you'll allow me. And that is that I firmly believe that there are bad actors in our world, but mostly good actors. And the bad actors wants to take advantage of vulnerable and people and use AI for bad uses, like even they are doing today without AI, so, through the internet. So my encouragement and emphatic plea is that governments would step in front of this as in terms of regulation, so you can eliminate the bad actors and be very vigilant in policing that. Because we cannot stop the good of AI for our society because we've got a couple of bad actors and or many bad actors. And so I want to make sure that we're putting that out right in front and speaking about it and dealing with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, on the business event side, are you seeing business event strategists or planners using this technology already? What sort of ways have you seen it implemented within the events world, in addition to, you know, answering questions on websites and that sort of thing that you mentioned?
They're just starting, and you know, they and I'm deliberately trying to avoid ChatGPT.
But you tell. All know, we can tell, Cheryl.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you all know that
no, I am. But you know, ChatGPT, everyone thinks of ChatGPT because it's popular, it's in the news. And if you think about it, most people did not hear about ChatGPT until about 5 months ago or 6 months ago. And today it's already that far. What I could tell you is that when event organizers are playing with it, not necessarily formally using it right now, and what they're playing about with it is room sets and room design, creating agendas, contract negotiations, and putting in language for ChatGPT to come up with a contract. What we are seeing is that companies like Microsoft is really advancing this and making it much more sophisticated. So there are many, many players in this space. There's about 20 of them already. We know about ChatGPT, but if you see what the others are doing, it's going to be very, very beneficial to event organizers. I do think they're a few months away from starting to do this. And PCMA is really getting into that space to be able to provide training and use case scenarios. We are going to launch a Catalyst community, getting people involved in having them help to create the type of AI community that they're looking for and answer their questions and be able to use it and make it easy to use instead of this thing that they're afraid of.
Yeah. And Jamie was just using it. She said she was playing around with it and asked it to build an itinerary for a trip to the Palm Beaches. And it came up with some really good options.
Spit out 3 days of things to do. And, you know, on that note, just in these early stages of these conversations, what do you think are some of the ways that destination organizations and CVBs can leverage this technology to be a resource to business event strategists that are looking to plan events in their destinations?
Well, first and foremost, one, you just mentioned it, and that is that you think about your website when you think of what AI is doing. How are you designing your website to ensure that what event organizers are looking for will actually get populated and come up based on competition? So you want to weed out the noise. You want to make sure that. So I would absolutely encourage destinations, and this is a critical role. You use AI to get the type of website and a type of information out there. So you're leading the conversation, not somebody else. One. Two is that I think what it will do is narrow your focus more into the segments and sectors that are beneficial to the Palm Beaches, for example, and make you much more focused on the type of event organizers that you want coming to the Palm Beaches instead of being a catch-all. Yes, you would like a lot of people to come to the Palm Beaches, but you really want the sectors that are coming to drive your economy. And so this is going to play that role where you're highlighting those things. When you're using AI, it will allow that to be brought up to the surface so that people can focus on what Palm Beaches excel at. So that's just a few. There are numerous. You could use it in your marketing materials. You could use it in so many other areas. So I think that potential is limitless. You can start somewhere.
Yeah. And I agree with you that, you know, you can't replace a person because there is a lot of nuance to it, right? And you can't replace that nuance with AI, I don't think, at least not yet, hopefully.
You know, Suzanne, this is absolutely not about replacing a person. And this is where sometimes fear mongering gets into the way. This is actually going to create way more jobs than we currently have. What remember, and you know, I'm a bit older than most people. And if you go back into the early 90s, and if you remember the conversations around the internet, and the internet was destroying my company, those type of statements. And clearly, that was all fear. And the fact of the matter is that most companies, if not all, cannot live without the internet today. So AI, but I, you know, the caution is that there are bad actors everywhere, and we've got to do the things to get rid of bad actors.
What other trends besides AI do you see as having a significant and long-term impact on the industry, like remote working?
I do. For me, remote working is really interesting, and I am not totally sure what the long-term impact on remote working is as yet. I don't think anyone truly knows. In essence, I do feel that how we have changed because of COVID is a story that will unfold over the next 3 to 5 years. As human beings, we're not sure. I am not sure, though, that our values necessarily will change, but our behaviors might change. And so how does that manifest in behavioral change? I don't know. But today, at least in a short term, because Most offices are back 2 or 3 days a week. Some might be up to 4. I'm not sure everybody's at 5. But being in the office 3 days a week, and there's a lot of remote working, and those people never come to the office, there is a need for more events. So that's having an impact on bringing people together. So if you are all remote, do you have monthly meetings, quarterly meetings? Is that being held in a facility, in a hotel, for example? So it's creating more meetings. That's one. I don't think that is a long-term thing. I think that's a short-term reaction. Where I think fundamental change is happening is around climate, around sustainability and regenerative economy. I think that is a fundamental long-term change. I believe we're starting to appreciate what that means. I know in the Palm Beaches, the community is doing some incredible things around regenerative practices. And so you will see that become much more a part of RFPs. Let me give you for example. In Europe, if you ask people how many of you include climate and sustainability in your RFP, it's 100%. How many of them contract is around 90%. In the US, how many people think about it is about 52%. How many people have it in their contracts and their agreements? 7%. So they're starting to question it, but they're not there as yet. And increasingly, you will see that play a role. Also, the notion of equity, whether it's equity for women, whether it's equity for LGBT community and racial backgrounds and so forth, I feel that that is playing a role, and that's having a transformative impact on the way people are doing business. And communities that are inclusive are going to thrive even more. So these are things that I feel have a much longer impact on our society and the way we conduct business versus reaction to things that are happening us in immediate term.
Well, and also you've mentioned the statistic before that's pretty astonishing, that if the business events industry were a country by GDP, it would be the 14th largest country in the world, more than $1 trillion annually. So, you know, whatever the meetings industry says is a priority is pretty much a priority, right?
It truly is. And Suzanne, we have just updated that study. It will be released to the world in a very short order here in the coming weeks. And that study now says that the business events industry, if it was a country, would be the 13th largest. So it's actually even moved up. So it is getting bigger, incredible economic power. But it shows the role that business events can play in communities such as the Palm Beaches. It can play in creating jobs that are not just in one sector, i.e. the hospitality sector, but driving. And this, to me, when you think of the role that the Palm Beaches plays in its community and community development, it's actually giving the Palm Beaches incredible opportunity to drive economic good for its community.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you kind of took the words right out of my mouth when we were talking about sustainability and, you know, regenerative tourism, as well as equity and accessibility. Those are key priorities for us in the Palm Beaches, but for destinations around the world. And a lot of that is driven by knowing what our visitors and our customers and our business event strategists and professionals are looking for. And so, you know, wanting to support their priorities is a priority for us. Earlier, you mentioned that your role is really to support your constituents and in the roles that they're playing now, the challenges they're facing, adding value. Are there any other aspects of the business that you're leaning on to be able to support your constituents in that manner?
I strongly believe in this, and that is that we know what we need to know, and then we can deliver against that. But there's many things that we don't know what we need to know. And if you're unaware of it, how do you get to know it? It seems like a conundrum, right? The only way you do that is by intersecting yourselves with disparate industries. So if you're in the medical industry, do you intersect yourself with the tech industry? If you're in the tech industry, do you intersect yourself with the financial industry? PCMA is firmly committed in intersecting itself with universities, youth, and all sectors so that we can bring new value, because I do not believe that we know what we need to know. And we will never know it unless we're intellectually curious. And to stay intellectually curious, we have to get out of our lanes, get out of our boxes, and intersect with others. And when we do that, crazy things happen. You know, one could submit that the iPhone today is really just all old technology that's a mashup of existing things, right? Well, guess what? It's easy to say that. But the only way they did it was actually to intersect with others. They understood that humans wanted to be empowered. And that journey started with the iPod, not the iPhone. And we came along this journey. If you look at where event organizers are going and the challenge that they're facing and so forth, there are many, many things that we do know about them, but there are things that we do not know. And us being in the forest with them is not going to help us. We absolutely need to step out of our zone, be intersected with other industries, and understand where other sectors are going, what they're faced with, and then be able to develop solutions for this industry. Otherwise, we will fall behind.
Yeah. What do I do with all those iPods that are still in my drawer, Sheriff?
Well, I really believe that it's going to be a great day when you take them to the Smithsonian.
Right. I don't think they're of the standard of the Smithsonian. They're pretty beat up. All right. We're going to switch gears a little bit here, Sheriff, because we always like to ask this question of all of our guests. But what's your favorite between the sessions memory, activity, or experience?
Well, you know, I had the privilege a few years ago to listen to Condoleezza Rice at a business event. And Condoleezza Rice, when she was in government and in office, I wasn't sure that I really liked her. And it was really interesting to have a conversation and actually meet her. And she spoke at Convening Leaders. And what it made me realize is how much we don't know. And when you're making decisions, when you don't have enough information, you make judgments. And it's one of those, yet again, eye-opening things that you need to actually keep reminding yourselves that sometimes what you see is not what is. And we sometimes judge people, we judge situations that it's just wrong. Many times as human beings, we make decisions when we have 20% or 30% of the information because we're forced to. It doesn't make that decision right, but we have to make the decision. But we should always think when we are seeing why people are saying what they're saying, we don't know what's behind it. And I feel that as human beings, if we can just step back for a little bit and understand or maybe reflect on why someone is doing something, it might make our world a slightly bit better place. But Condoleezza Rice and Condi Rice, whatever we call her, I felt that was just such an incredibly articulate and smart woman. And back when she was in government, I had least patience for her. And now I have so much appreciation. And it told me about what I had to do for myself.
And yeah. also I think, you know, meeting someone in person, which you did at one of these events, right? That in-person thing makes things so much different than what you see through a screen, which goes back to that we do need meetings in person, right?
Totally. There is nothing I believe when I believe this wholeheartedly. And that is that you could have all the differences in the world. You could have different opinions come from different backgrounds. But when you can sit face to face with someone, you look each other in the eye, you could be diametrically opposite in your positions, but you can at least appreciate the person across from you. You may disagree, but you can appreciate them, you can appreciate their perspective. And that is the first step in building bridges to understanding. So there's nothing to me that will ever replace human connections.
All right, Sheriff Karamat. We do end our podcast with a segment called Swag. And, you know, we all know it is stuff we all get in the meetings industry, but our swag's a little bit different, Sheriff. It's a tip or piece of advice that you want to share with the audience, something that maybe has you see as a potential game changer or something that changed your perspective on the industry. Anything that you would like to share?
Oh, well, this is a cool question and a tough one at the same time. But I would just, this is for business events. What I would ask everyone the next time they attend an event or participate in an event, to meet someone or others that they have never met before. No one in their lane, no one in their zone. Make it a point that every event you meet, and you could look at your Facebook friends or your whatever friends you have and let them be outside of anyone that you've met. Just go and meet someone and make that your mission and see how that changes your life.
I love that.
That's great advice. Yeah. All right, Sheriff Karamat. So if people want to get in touch with you.
I am absolutely approachable. My email address is skaramat, S-K-A-R-A-M-A-T at pcma.org. And I will answer you, I promise you.
Wow. Okay. I like that.
I might be a day late or two, but I will.
But you will answer.
You have a pass on that.
Well, we thank you so much for joining us on Between the Sessions. It was a pleasure. And Between the Sessions is a part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Thank you for listening and tuning in. And make sure to follow us on LinkedIn. We're the Palm Beaches on LinkedIn. Or head to our website, thepalmbeaches.com/meetings. Also, we would love it if you would subscribe to this podcast and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Well, that's it for today. I'm Suzanne Boyd.
I'm Jamie Hart.
And that's Between the Sessions.